Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A semi-automatic rifle was brought to the campus of a Wake County high school during an event. New at noon, we're hearing from a parent who was there and is not pleased with how it was handled.
Also, we have new information about a crash involving House Speaker Tim Moore.
And our front has moved by. That means two things: cooler temperatures and eventually a low riding along it to bring us a very wet Saturday.
Police say they found a juvenile with an AR-15 rifle at a Raleigh High School basketball game. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. It adds to a long list of security incidents at schools in our area recently. This latest one happened last night at Millbrook High School during a basketball game against Hillside High. WRAL's Adam Owens talked with a parent who was there and not happy with how this was all handled. And Adam, because of this incident, there are extra officers at Millbrook today.
Yeah, we are told there is extra security at the high school today, Renee, and I can see behind me just beyond this fence here, there's actually an RPD vehicle parked just outside one of the entrances. As you mentioned earlier this morning, I also talked with a parent who had some questions. A lot of people may have this today. How did this AR-15 rifle get into the game? She also is not very happy with how things were handled. She says a lot of spectators and a lot of parents who were at the game were not told about the danger that officers found. Now, again, this all happened last night at Millbrook High School during a game between Millbrook and Hillside High. At about 8:40 last night, police got word about a student with a gun. They later found a juvenile boy with an AR-15 rifle. We're told officers immediately took him into custody. Earlier this morning, I did speak to that parent who says she was in the crowd. She says the game was allowed to continue despite that gun being found. At one point, she tells me, parents were asked to stay put in the stands, but with no information about what was going on.
I feel that we should have had some sort of notification that there was some active situation happening. And just as well as they locked down the students in school, the game should have been locked down. It should have ended. It should not have continued.
And this is what we know about that juvenile police say they found with the gun. We are told he is not a Millbrook High School student. We're working to find out if he was a student from another school. Investigators are working on a juvenile petition and secure custody order. That was at last check. But again, that big question, how did this AR-15 get into this game? How did the student get access to this gun? And could there be more charges on perhaps an adult who may have allowed access to the gun in some way? Those are questions we are continuing to ask through the day, Renee.
And we await the answers. Adam Owens, live at Millbrook.
It's a much more mild afternoon, but temperatures will be much colder for the weekend, especially tomorrow. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with the timeline for rain coming in and those falling temperatures as well.
It's kind of hard to let this go, isn't it? It's so nice out there right now. Temperatures are pleasant. We have beautiful, partly cloudy skies. This is a live look at downtown Durham. But there's that front. It has slipped to our south now, and the winds have already begun to come out of the northwest. That will already bring us cooler temperatures than we saw yesterday. And you can see some showers back to the west across parts of Tennessee. That front that has moved to our south will create a wave along it and move some of that rain into our area. We could even see some showers out ahead of it by later on this evening. Take a look at Futurecast, and we'll walk through tomorrow morning. You can see early in the morning at 6 a.m. some light showers that are moving in across the area. One thing about this particular pattern tomorrow, we're not going to see green covering the entire viewing area at any one time. We'll end up seeing just scattered showers with this. We'll move it on ahead. There's 9 a.m. Most of the rain at 9 a.m. is in our southern counties, but we'll see that continuing to develop and move across the entire viewing area as we head through the day. There's 12:30. We'll move it on ahead and see another wave of rain that moves through during the afternoon, and the bulk of it starts to pull out by around 5 or 6 p.m. So if you have plans at night on Saturday night, it's going to be chilly and it'll still be wet out, but most of the rain should be over by that point. Take a look at the temperatures that'll go along with this. From 80s yesterday to 40s tomorrow, it'll be 44 at 7 a.m., 45 at noon, and at 5 o'clock still just 46. Now we do see our temperatures climbing a little bit for Sunday, and it'll be fairly mild next week. I'll show you what's ahead after this moves out coming up.
All right, Elizabeth, thanks for that.
happening right now in the WREL Live Center. This is live. Alex Murdaugh is on the stand for a second day of testimony in his own defense. Prosecutors have been cross-examining, asking questions about his activities on the day that his wife and son were killed. Alex has repeatedly been saying that he doesn't remember every single detail, but he says he was on the couch at the time. He thought when he got up from a nap, if he took a nap, as he was getting ready to go to his mother's house, he thought his wife and son had come back to the house. He also repeatedly claims he did not see any weapons at the scene where his wife and son were found.
Did you have that tan blackout and a 12-gauge shotgun on that golf cart when you drove down there?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Did you see them when you were down there?
No.
No.
Prosecutors also talked about his financial troubles as well. Murdaugh faced questions about repeatedly stealing money. He also said, I would agree that in 2019, I stole more money than any other year. He also claimed that he borrowed multiple times from his law firm partners.
Michelle, thanks. Breaking news. We now know the name of the latest NC State student found dead this year. 21-year-old Patrick Sullivan was found dead at a home on Olive Road. The Wake County Sheriff's Office believes it was an accident. Five of the nine students who have died this year at NC State died by suicide. And just 3 days ago, the university released a mental health report that estimated more than 4,000 students on campus have had suicidal thoughts.
We have new details this noon about a crash involving NC Speaker of the House Tim Moore. WRL's Laura Leslie just received an update from the speaker at the legislative building. And Laura, it's a question we were all asking. This does not appear to be a targeted attack.
It does not, although Speaker Moore said he was wondering initially. Speaker Moore not hurt, and he said he doesn't believe that he was targeted as a political figure, but he says it was a pretty scary situation. Moore says he and Representative David Willis and a staffer were on 64 last night around 9:40. They were traveling in an unmarked police SUV coming back from Wilson. They were right around Zebulon. They were driving at highway speeds when a truck ran up on them from behind and rammed their bumper, their back bumper, three times before passing them. Their driver is General Assembly Police Officer Jason Perdue. Thankfully, he managed to keep control of the SUV and no one was hurt. They turned on the blue lights on their vehicle and they followed that driver while calling for backup from Wake County and State Highway Patrol.
The first hit, that was strange enough. The second hit and the third hit, you're feeling like, who is this? Is this somebody trying to run you off the road? And so that's what got everybody obviously a little excited at that point. But I don't know that I doubt he knew who we were. I mean, I don't know what's in the man's mind, but it sounds like he was impaired. And
The driver who hit them then proceeded to pull over and stop in the left lane on 87, West, where Wake County NSHP arrested him. James Matthew Brogdon, 38 years old from Goldsboro, he was taken to Wake Med for evaluation. The Wake County Sheriff's Office says he's been charged with misdemeanor speed, speeding to elude arrest, failure to heed blue lights and siren, hit and run, driving while impaired, failure to reduce speed and to avoid a collision, resisting a public officer, and damage to property. Quite a list. Moore says he's just grateful that his security officer handled the vehicle so well. He said, really, this could have happened to anyone, and a smaller vehicle could have spun out of control.
There's some wild tale right there. We're glad he's okay. Laura Leslie, live at the legislative building. Thank you.
Today marks 1 year since Russian forces invaded Ukraine. It has also been 1 year since Ukrainians by the thousands fled their homes in search of safety. Today, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky and the Prime Minister of Poland visited a hospital in Kyiv. He presented the wounded and medical personnel with medals for their service. Earlier, Zelensky delivered a somber message of defiance to his nation and shed tears for those who died. NBC's Richard Engel shows us how Ukraine marked the somber occasion.
Ukrainians this morning observed a moment of silence for a war they were widely expected to lose, but instead are winning. For now, President Zelensky said the Ukrainian people have proven invincible after a year of pain, sorrow, faith, and unity. To mark the somber anniversary, France illuminated the Eiffel Tower in the colors of the Ukrainian flag. Protesters in London made sure staff at the Russian embassy saw the colors too. When Russian forces first advanced on Ukraine a year ago today, many families rushed to escape. Like all wars, it's been especially hard for children. Half of all Ukrainian kids have been displaced from their homes. Millions taken out of the country, becoming refugees in places they don't know. For the children who stayed in Ukraine, their homes have changed too. Some sleep in subway stations where it's safer from the attacks above. Occasionally, there's entertainment. But celebrations here are rare. More common are long hours in basements with little or no power, no internet, and little time to run and play outdoors. Schools have been destroyed, just like most everything else.
Hello, how are you?
Children who still go to school do it in hiding. We were allowed into this school on the condition we didn't show it from the outside. The teacher was afraid Russian troops would bomb it if they knew where it was. Daria is 9. Last night there was shelling very close to our house, she says. I was in bed and very scared.
When you hear the shooting and you hear the explosions, what do you do? Do you cover your ears? Do you think about something else?
I close my ears and lay in bed like this, she says. I close my eyes and go under the blanket to protect myself in case there's shrapnel. Sometimes I go under the bed. The children love school. It's an oasis from the war.
Who here wants this war to end very soon?
Yeah, I thought so.
Both hands up. Everyone's got both hands up.
After school, the children head home for lunch and to go back into hiding.
There's no way for people to live. That was Richard Engel reporting. The U.S. is vowing long-term support to Ukraine, and the Defense Department announced a $2 billion aid package to the country. Let's take a look at stocks now. A hotter-than-expected inflation report is rattling Wall Street. You can see the Dow deeply in the red, down 374 points. S&P 500 also in the red, down 50 points. NASDAQ down 200 points at this hour.
There's a renewed push to give politicians more say in what your child is taught in school. A Republican representative filed new legislation that would ban schools from teaching certain concepts related to race. Republicans have pushed other bills regarding so-called critical race theory, but this time it could succeed. CRT acknowledges the existence of systemic racism and that some institutions are inherently racist. According to House Bill 187, public schools cannot promote that a race of sex is superior to the other or that the United States was created by a particular race or sex to oppress members of another race or sex.
It is unfortunate that some lawmakers in the General Assembly have decided to reintroduce this anti-truth bill to limit conversations around history, honest history and accurate history in our public schools when we should be teaching the fullness of history to our students.
WRL has reached out to the sponsors of that bill for a comment. We haven't heard back yet. Coming up next at noon, the Pentagon is investigating an internal email leak. How those emails were leaked and for how long they went undetected by the military.
Also, don't junk your old phone. How to get money out of it while making sure the transaction is safe.
Plus, COVID resulted in some regrettable decisions for home buyers. How the pandemic drove people out of big cities.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The Pentagon is investigating an internal email leak. Military officials want to know how internal U.S. Special Ops Command emails leaked for 2 weeks without the military's knowledge and why the problem was not detected sooner. An independent cybersecurity researcher found unclassified emails from the Department of Defense dating back to February 8th on the Internet. Right now, investigators believe it was due to a misconfiguration of a computer server.
There could be money in your used phone. Plenty of places offer hundreds of dollars for used electronics. Linda Baccaro has tips for finding the most money and ways to make sure the transaction is safe.
Have you ever shopped to see how much you can get for your used phone?
I never did, but I always wanted to.
Usually I turn it in wherever I wind up buying my new phone.
Yeah, a couple of times, especially like for older iPhones and stuff.
There could be money in your used phone. Plenty of places offer hundreds of dollars for used electronics.
see which offers the most value for your phone. They really can differ.
Chandra Steele is senior features writer at PCMag.com. She says you can bring your device in person to a store.
You could go to Best Buy. They have a program where you can turn it in and then you get money for the store. GameStop has a similar program.
Or compare offers from websites.
There are some services such as YouSell, Declutter, Swappa.
Many sites make it simple to see what your phone or computer or tablet is worth and sell it with just a few clicks. But before you ship it,
first thing you want to do if you're going to sell your phone is to back up your data. So you want to make sure you have a copy of everything. Then you're going to want to wipe the data from your phone.
After that, unfind your iPhone, sign out of messages, unpair AirPods and devices, and if possible, declare the value of the device when shipping it off. Paul Evseroff, an NBC Universal employee, sold his used iPhone for $905 to Gizmo Go, but ran into a big glitch.
They sent me the label. There was no opportunity to put a declared value on it.
It was a huge problem when the phone was stolen during shipment, although Gizmo Go eventually gave Paul the full amount anyway.
I can't remember selling an old device, but turning it in when you get a new one, that's probably standard, pretty standard.
Yeah, I'm just wondering who buys all the old ones. Don't most people want the new ones? But I guess there's a market for that, market for everything. Take a look at the beautiful weather that we have out there. Dorothea Dix Park, lots of folks are walking, taking a look at the daffodils, having lunch on a blanket there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center, a great day to enjoy the gardens. Hopefully you can get outside and enjoy it in your favorite way, and it's a Friday, so hopefully people will get out. I will tell you, once we get to 5, 6, 7 o'clock, the skies are going to cloud up a little bit, and we'll talk about the arrival for rain tonight coming up. But it's just glorious out there right now. It's a little bit breezy, but you can see a few folks walking down the pathway into the gardens. Our gardens are known for their azaleas, and I've noticed a lot of the things that tend to start to bloom in early to mid-March are already blooming because of the warm temperatures that we've seen over the last couple of weeks. So it looks like maybe we're running as much as 2 weeks above normal, 2 weeks ahead of normal in terms of things blooming. I noticed that some of the red buds are starting to come out, and that doesn't usually happen until well into March. So no azaleas yet, but definitely we're seeing Bradford pears blooming. There are daffodils everywhere. Coming next in terms of bulbs, a lot of the tulips will start to come up. They're usually, you know, well into March, but again, things seem a little early this year. It's gorgeous out there right now, 70 degrees, and our dew point has dropped down to 28. The lower this number, just the more comfortable it feels out. And it was a little bit on the muggy side yesterday and even this morning, but we've seen a nice drier air mass move in, so that dew point's down to 28. We're going to hold it in the low 70s for the rest of the afternoon, which honestly, it's hard to be more perfect than low humidity and 70s. 77 for the high this afternoon in Fayetteville, 76 in Clinton, 68 in South Hill, and 64 in Roxborough. The wind has started to shift now, and so we're seeing the cooler temperatures, especially from the Triangle area northward, where it's 10 to 13 degrees cooler. We haven't seen that coolest air starting to filter down into our southern counties yet, but it is already a little cooler than yesterday. We should top out around 74 in Fayetteville, 75 in Clinton, but 64 in Roxborough, 68 in Durham, 72 in Southern Pine. So a lot cooler than it was yesterday. And again, that's all because of the front that has moved to our south. We are now seeing wind coming out of the north, grabbing some of that cooler air from the north and moving it into our area. We're seeing some showers now across parts of Tennessee, up into Kentucky, down here across the deep south. This front is stalling right here, and it will gradually start to lift northward. We'll see a low developing along it, and that's going to start to push more of that rain into our area later on tonight. Look at what's happening on the other side of the mountains. It's 30 in Cleveland. It's 3 in Minneapolis. Even on the other side of the Appalachians in Nashville, it's 45. This is what we are going to see tomorrow, those temperatures in the 40s. There's our wind direction. You can see it now coming out of the north. This morning, we still had a southwesterly flow close to the coast, but we are done with that. We will see plenty of sunshine for the next few hours. We'll take it out to 3, 4, 5 o'clock. Notice by 5, 6 o'clock, we start to see the clouds thickening up. And by 7 or 8, even 9 o'clock, we begin to see a little bit of light rain moving in. 71 today, only 48 for tomorrow. But then we do rebound on Sunday to 65. We do have the potential for showers on and off during the day tomorrow. We'll walk through Futurecast, and I'll show you the details of that coming up in just a bit. We'll have another chance for rain late Monday and into Thursday. But once we get past tomorrow, our temperatures climb back above normal for most of next week. We get the 70s back. All right, Elizabeth, thank you. Coming off the heels of a citywide crime report showing youth involvement in violence is growing in Durham, we are learning about opportunities that could help fight that trend.
Today at 4, we'll hear from the director of Youth Works and how the organization can help kids build job skills and prepare for the future.
And tonight at 6, Fort Bragg has the most overdose deaths in the Army. Gilbert Bays looks into why and what is being done to address it. Still ahead this noon, some people think it's a lazy gift. Others love to make their own choices. Many forget about them entirely. A staggering amount in gift cards Americans are carrying around in their wallets.
Also, about 80% of people who joined the Great Resignation now have regrets. Many realtors say some people who bought homes during the pandemic are also feeling remorse. What home buyers should look for before making a big decision. Chances are you have an unused gift card floating around. And Boeing is ending production on a well-known fighter jet. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
It's going out in style. Boeing is ending production of the FA-18 Super Hornet combat jet. It's a workhorse of a jet that's featured in the blockbuster Top Gun Maverick. The planes were rented from the Navy and used in many of the main action scenes in the movie. Boeing produces the Super Hornet at a plant in St. Louis. It plans to end production late in 2025. Boeing's military sales have been weighed down by losses on some contracts and a decline in funding from the Pentagon. 2 million Kasori air fryers are being recalled. This after the company received 200 reports of the appliances catching fire or overheating. 10 of the reports involved minor burns, and almost 24 included property damage. Now, the problem is with a wire connection that can overheat. The air fryers were sold at retailers everywhere from Walmart to Amazon and Target. The company will replace the recalled air fryers. You can find details on the models affected at recall.kasori.com. 401ks took a hit last year as the market sold off. The average balance in a 401k account was down 23% from a year earlier. It stood at just under $104,000 at the end of 2022, according to Fidelity Investments. And despite the market turmoil, people continued to contribute to their 401k account. The average contribution rate held steady at 13.7%. That includes both the employee and employer contributions. There's a pretty good chance you have a used gift card somewhere. Almost 2/3 of American consumers have one sitting around. That's according to a report from the Financial Advisor Credit Summit. It says there is as much as $21 billion in unspent money tied up in unused or lost gift cards. Inertia is one of the big reasons for not using a gift card. Maybe you don't care for the store or it's not convenient. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Speaking of money, Americans are having trouble saving for emergencies. According to a new survey, nearly half of adults in the U.S. have little to no emergency funds compared to a year ago. An unstable economy and record high inflation has forced people to dip into their savings accounts or take on credit card debt in order to cover living expenses. Millennials and Gen Zers are the least likely generations to have emergency savings.
The Grinch is back. How the Grinch Lost Christmas takes readers back to Whoville, where they will finally know how the Grinch spent Christmas 1 year after his adventures in the first book. We'll also find out if he finally embraced the true meaning and spirit of Christmas. Dr. Seuss's beloved original children's book was published back in 1957. It has sold nearly 10 million copies in North America to date. The new book hits shelves September 5th. A moment of silence followed by words of gratitude. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky marked the first anniversary of Russia's invasion. How the Triangle is paying tribute to the people of Ukraine.
Well, she bought a new home for over $600,000 and is already pouring money into it for repairs. Why this homeowner is part of a growing number of Americans expressing remorse about the homes they bought during the pandemic. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Around the world and here in Raleigh, people are showing support for Ukrainians. Some of the families seeking safety ended up in our area. WRAL's Laura Levine is at the state capitol where a vigil will be held tonight.
For Ukrainians and those who support them, this one-year milestone is a grim reminder of how much their lives have changed. So today, we will see many people standing right here outside the NC State Capitol building to commemorate the suffering that is still going on. The Ukrainian Association of North Carolina invites the community to participate in a vigil, shedding light on Russia's invasion into Ukraine and encouraging people not to turn a blind eye. The group has worked tirelessly over the past 12 months to rescue families to safety, flying them out of the country as the war continues. They have more than 40 million airline miles donated and have helped about 1,400 Ukrainians find a new home.
Sometimes it just gives you chills because it's just so powerful that strangers from around the world have come and joined us to help these many, many families that, you know, their only hope right now is us.
The organization still has more than 200 families looking for sponsors or host families to take them in. The vigil will begin at 6:30 tonight and wrap up around 9:30. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
Ukraine's central bank unveiled a new banknote to mark a year since Russia's full-scale invasion of the country. One side shows three Ukrainian soldiers raising a blue and yellow national flag. The other features two hands tied in tape, which represents the war crimes Kyiv accuses Russian forces of committing. The new note, which contains innovative security features, will have a circulation of 300,000.
Happening now in the WRAL Live Center, we have an official date for Fort Bragg's name change. June 2nd, Fort Bragg is going to become Fort Liberty. Planning is underway right now for a celebration that will be open to veterans as well as the general public. In 2021, Congress voted to mandate that military installations named after Confederate figures or sympathizers be renamed by this year, 2023.
Thanks, Michelle. We are waiting to find out if a student will face charges accused of using pepper spray on a school bus. It happened on the ride to Dillard Drive Magnet Middle School yesterday. No one on the bus needed to go to the hospital, but the principal says legal action is possible. We spoke with attorney Daniel Meyer, who says it depends on whether the student intended to hurt others. Meyer says for now it doesn't seem the charges would be too serious.
But as far as for criminal activity, unless he intentionally brought it, like to hurt people or something like that, it's not criminal liability. So there's probably not a whole lot that can really be done.
Meyer also says the student's parents would likely only be liable if someone had to be taken to the hospital, which wasn't the case here. He did say child services could be notified.
The need for more space at a cheaper price drove a lot of people to move out of cities during the pandemic. A recent report by the National Association of Realtors says more people moved out of big cities than in last year. Zinclay Assemois reports all that action in the market led to some quick decisions by home buyers, and not everyone is happy.
First-time homebuyer Kate Fox is feeling buyer's remorse after purchasing this Santa Rosa, California house in March 2021.
Hey, Kate.
Hi. Welcome. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Fox submitted an offer on the house the same day she saw it after a one-hour tour. The 39-year-old waived the home inspection, saying the sellers provided a recent inspection. But after move-in, to her surprise, the two-bedroom, one-bath bungalow required a lot of renovations.
Within the first week of moving into this house, the hot water in the shower kept cutting out. The first big rain, the paint on the mantle started bubbling.
Bubbling
because there's a water leak.
Fox's experience isn't unique, according to Amanda Pendleton, home trend expert with real estate company Zillow.
Prior to the pandemic, it used to take about 3 weeks for a home to be listed for sale and to go under contract. During the pandemic, that was happening in 7 days nationwide.
In June 2020, nearly 20% of successful home offers waived the inspection contingency, according to real estate brokerage Redfin, compared to just 13% a year earlier pre-pandemic. For Fox, that came at a cost.
I had not budgeted to spend $10,000 in the first year after spending $630,000 to buy the house.
About three out of four recent home buyers had regrets, according to a 2022 Zillow report, and about one-third regret getting a home that required more maintenance or work than expected.
at the peak of the pandemic housing market. Inventory was down 45% compared to pre-pandemic levels. So there weren't a lot of homes to choose from.
It all came as millennials, America's largest generation, reached prime home buying ages, according to Goldman Sachs. Plus, mortgage rates hit a record low, according to the St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank. And the spike in remote work also may have fueled demand.
The high competition, the rising prices, the low inventory, and this extreme time pressure, you just had a lot of home buyers who ended up in a home that may have been less than ideal.
Fox still has big dreams for her 1929 home, with hopes to renovate the kitchen. But she says the unexpected repairs have hampered her efforts.
Do you regret buying this house?
I regret feeling the pressure of having to buy the house. And then also I regret not knowing what I didn't know.
Fox still committed to make her new house a home.
The world's leading experts on the flu will reveal their findings today on the risk of a fast-spreading strain of bird flu. The group will meet with reporters to talk about H5N1, which killed record numbers of birds around the world in recent months. The scientists will also address concerns that the virus could infect humans. There have been several cases, but the World Health Organization says the threat to humans is low right now.
Today, you can get access to over-the-counter medication for free in Durham. The city's hosting a giveaway of drugs to treat colds, coughs, and the flu. There will also be pain relief pills and vitamins. Pre-registration is closed, but you can still stop by and shop in person while supplies last. The event runs until 2 at the Community Life, Family Life and Recreation Center at Lyon Park. That's on Halley Street. Facebook says it is changing the way it warns users who are violating its rules. Why it'll focus now more on explanations than timeouts.
And egg prices will start to drop this year. What experts say will drive the decrease and how much relief we could really see. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click report it in the WRAL News app. We could soon get a break from sky-high egg prices. The USDA's chief economist says wholesale egg prices will fall about 30% this year. That is if the U.S. avoids more outbreaks of bird flu. The price of a dozen eggs was up 150% in January from a year ago to $4.80 a dozen. The USDA expects egg production will increase 4% this year, and the number of egg-laying chickens will bounce back. Plant-based beverages can continue to use milk in their name. The FDA says this includes dozens of milk alternatives such as soy, almond, cashew, and oat milks. The agency suggests the name milk is a common and usual name, and the products are clearly labeled as plant-based. It adds that most people will not confuse these products for cow's milk. The proposal does not apply to other non-dairy products such as yogurt.
If you wondered why there was a recent shortage of prepackaged salads made by Dole, we have an answer. Dole confirms a cyber attack affected the company's systems throughout North America. So Dole told grocery stores about the cyber attack after customers complained there were no prepackaged salads in stock from the company. Dole is working with cybersecurity experts to remedy the situation. Facebook polices billions of posts, photos, videos, and comments each day. For years, its moderation systems have been slammed for missing context. In the past, users would be thrown in Facebook jail for days, even weeks at a time. Now the company says it will warn users when they break the rules instead of taking away their posting privileges right away. For most violations, the first strike will result in a warning. If Facebook removes additional posts, users will lose access to some features. Facebook jail sentences will typically begin after the sixth strike.
A new form of protective gear could be a game changer for motorcycle riders. We'll explain how the man behind the invention says it works.
Also, his heart was in the right place, but not everyone understood his mission. Why a 12-year-old boy did not allow bullies to prevent him from helping others. Bring you back here with a live look from our WRL Live Cam Network, Fayetteville Street, downtown Raleigh. Just sun-soaked right now as you watch WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Some new jeans about to hit the market. May not be fashion-friendly, but they could save a life of a motorcycle rider. The so-called airbag jeans have the ability to inflate like an airbag and protect bikers who get into an accident. A self-inflating pocket in the seat and around the thighs offers protection when a rider hits the ground. The driving force behind the trouser technology is a Swedish designer.
The feeling when the airbag inflates is basically like a huge hug. And then when the airbag takes the hits on the asphalt, you feel that you have hit something, but it doesn't hurt. That's the main difference.
Yeah, the designer says tens of thousands of people have already expressed interest online for a pair of the protective pants ahead of their launch in February. Now, they cost a whopping $630 per pair, but they save your life. Heck.
Mm-hmm. We've been hearing all about record temperatures from yesterday. Do they mean anything when it comes to the seasons in North Carolina? WRAL climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin wanted to know.
The jackets stayed at home today and the flowers are coming out. But summer weather in February isn't all sunshine and roses. It's part of a wider warming trend.
The sunshine pulled Raleigh residents outside Thursday.
It's beautiful. I love the weather. Just a good chance to play disc golf.
As the temperature soared to 85 degrees.
I have been loving it so much. I hate the cold.
Making this the warmest February day ever in the Triangle.
And it's nice. I'm glad it's like warmer, but it's kind of scary. Climate change.
And the warmest winter on record. Today marking 15 times we've hit 80 degrees or higher at RDU during the month of February.
I think it's probably going to continue. I think we're going to be talking a pretty hot summer and just this continual, hey, watch out for record temperatures.
According to Climate Central, North Carolina currently averages 10 dangerous heat days per year, expected to jump to 60 days over the next three decades.
So North Carolina's warming, and our winters are getting warmer, too, and we're stacking the deck with greater odds of these really warm days earlier in the year.
North Carolina state climatologist Kathy Dello says a trend of warmer nights also increased threats to crops and to public health.
I think that we just need to recognize that this is a changing North Carolina in many ways. The climate's changing. We have lots of people moving here. But we have many opportunities because of that to reimagine our cities and reimagine our communities and think about how we thrive in a changing climate.
Dello says as temperatures rise, more shade structures are needed throughout the city and subsidies for cooling for those who don't already have it or who can't afford to turn it on. In Raleigh, I'm Liz McLaughlin, WRAL News.
According to the EPA, North Carolina has warmed 1 degree over the last century, and the sea is rising about an inch per decade. Today, though, we're going to dial it back from summer to spring.
And we're still in winter. How about right. This? Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. You say the biggest climate change has been in wintertime, though.
Exactly. We took a look at that graphic yesterday where we are seeing warming across all the seasons, but in winter, we're seeing an even bigger jump in our temperatures. And boy, yesterday was a great example of that. Today, temperatures are still well above normal, but 15 degrees cooler in some places than what we saw yesterday. Our normal high temperature this time of year is in the upper 50s. And a lot of folks are getting out and enjoying it, but there are a lot of downsides to that. There are a lot of crops that are used to the climate that we had and don't do well in a warmer climate. And so we lose that. Christmas trees, for one, are suffering in the mountains, and we could go on for a while, but the flip side of that is, too, that it's a beautiful afternoon out there. We do have some rain on the way. You can see the showers really starting to develop, and at the end of the loop, a few thunderstorms popping up down here across parts of Alabama. We're not likely to see thunder and lightning with this, but we're already starting to see that rain picking up intensity to our west, and it's likely to roll through here later on this evening. I'd say 8, 9 o'clock start to look for that. This version of Futurecast is showing a little bit of patchy rain up to the north during the evening commute. That may be just a little bit fast, but definitely by the time we get to 9, 10 o'clock, we can see some scattered showers across the area. And then from there on out, all the way through Saturday evening, the rain will be scattered. This is 6 a.m. on Saturday. We'll continue to see waves of rain moving in. We'll pause it there at 9 a.m. At lunchtime, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot here, but there's more to come. Another wave rolls through for much of the afternoon. And then at 5, 6, 7 o'clock, it starts to move on out. There's even a little hole in the clouds potentially overnight. I wouldn't expect to see a whole lot of sunshine at any point Saturday, but we might see a few peaks of sun on Sunday. The other big change, of course, is the temperature. We're going to to go from 80s yesterday to 40s tomorrow. 44 at 7 a.m. at lunchtime, 45, and at 5 o'clock, 46. So the temperatures just hold. We'll fall into the mid-40s and just keep it there for the rest of the day tomorrow. How much rainfall? It's not a whole lot. The rain will be scattered across the area, so somewhere between a tenth of an inch and a quarter of an inch is what we'll see on average across our area. And it's okay if we don't see more than that. We've had enough rain over the last couple of months that we're not seeing any problems with drought. We do have abnormally dry conditions there in the southern part of Sampson County. Other than that, we're looking pretty good. And we do have more rain in the forecast for next week, so we're doing fine. Of course, we had the big snowstorm across the northern part of the country this week. That's over. They're still dealing with wind chill warnings up to minus 55 in parts of the upper Midwest there. And then the winter storm in California is really the big story across the country right now. A lot of parts of California that are lower elevation that don't normally see snow are seeing as much as 5 to 6 inches of snow. We're going to see a slightly warmer day on Sunday. We'll rebound 20 degrees up to 65. It'll be a fairly dry day Sunday, but mostly cloudy. Monday late in the day, we see a chance of showers, but a warm day at 75. Temperatures continue to be well above normal next week with another chance for rain on Thursday.
Hit March next week as well. Elizabeth, thank you.
I just wanted more children that have no hair to get hair.
A 12-year-old boy is on a mission to help people in the best way he knows how, and now others are joining his cause. We'll have his story after the break. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. Parents are calling for more answers and action after police say they found a juvenile with an AR-15 rifle at a basketball game at Millbrook High School. We're told officers immediately took the juvenile into custody and no one was hurt. We're told he is not a Millbrook High School student.
We've learned a crash involving North Carolina House Speaker Tim Moore. Moore says he and Representative David Willis and a staffer were on 64 coming back from Wilson in an unmarked police SUV last night when a truck rammed them two times and passed them near Zebulon. No one was hurt. Deputies and troopers arrested the truck's driver. He faces charges.
The Ukrainian Association of North Carolina invites the community to participate in a vigil tonight at 6:30. It's to mark 1 year since the start of the Russia-Ukraine war. The group has worked tirelessly over the past 12 months to relocate families, flying them out of the country as the war continues. They have more than 40 million airline miles donated and have helped about 1,400 Ukrainians find new homes.
A 12-year-old Rhode Island boy spent years growing out his hair to donate it to kids with cancer. But AJ Silva's decision to do it wasn't easy. About 4 years ago, his hair was just as long in elementary school, so he decided to chop it off and donate his 12 inches to wigs for kids to support. To support those with cancer. Now in middle school, AJ decided to do it again, but this time his classmates were not as supportive. He found himself the target of bullies, but decided to endure it because what he was doing was for a good cause.
Sometime in seventh grade, I was actually considering just getting a haircut and not donating it again because of how much I was getting bullied, but I decided to keep doing it because I knew that if I did that, I would be being selfish.
Seven people at his school have pledged to alter their appearance to donate their hair as well.
Marvel fans, get ready. A new experience is in the works at Disneyland. Disney Parks announced Rogers the Musical will be staged at California Adventure for a limited time this summer. It's a musical that first appeared as a fictitious play in the Disney Plus series Hawkeye. Now it looks like it'll become reality. The one-act musical is described as a timeless story about a timeless hero. Details on the release have not been released yet. Fresh off her Super Bowl performance, Rihanna is now getting ready to perform at the Oscars. The star will perform Lift Me Up from Black Panther Wakanda Forever at the awards show March 12th. It is nominated for Best Original Song, making it Rihanna's first Oscar nomination. Wakanda Forever is nominated for 5 Academy Awards overall.
Time now for our pet of the day. Jigsaw is an 8-year-old senior dog weighing 55 pounds. He'll drop everything for head scratches or a treat. He'll sometimes pick up your hand with his paw, nudge it toward the top of his head to ask for some love. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Get breaking news updates anytime with the WREL News app and get out there. Have a great day.
Stay local. Stay with WRAL. Coverage never stops on the radio with 99.3 in Raleigh and 96.5 in Durham.